What's up, sunshine? Rise up. Welcome to CNN 10, the best 10 minutes in news. I'm Coy Wire, still here in Las Vegas for what was an awesome Super Bowl, unless your team lost, of course, then sorry. We start today with the biggest news from last night, off the field, that is, and I'm talking about the commercial breaks, Super Bowl advertising. Our Jen Sullivan dives into the business side of the big game and why, with more than 100 million people tuning in, the Super Bowl is the most watched TV program of the year and the biggest opportunity of the year for advertisers.
Some people watch the Super Bowl for the game, others for the commercials. But unlike the players, these companies have seconds to grab our attention.
It's a massively competitive playing field when it comes to advertising because everyone's showcasing their best thoughts.
Kellogg marketing professor Derek Rucker says companies are shelling out $7 million this year for a 30-second ad during the Super Bowl.
It's a costly investment.
So how do you make sure you get a return on that investment? Some commercials make us laugh.
Help.
You can't touch this.
While others pull at our heartstrings.
Hey Google, show me photos of me and Loretta.
If you introduce a problem for which your brand is the solution, that can be very powerful.
Rucker says some companies will use jingles.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Or celebrities.
Nationwide's there to protect.
Maybe leave the songs to me.
To grab our attention. But it's important that consumers still remember the product and not just the ad itself.
Next up, perhaps the most talked about person at last night's game and here at Super Bowl all week, Taylor Swift. And I know some folks may be a bit tired of hearing about Tay-Tay, but not the Swifties. She's such a phenomenon that one class at Harvard University is just beginning to examine the megastar's music and lyrics. Check it out.
If I weren't a Swiftie, I would not want to teach this class.
This is a chorus where we're going to take her at her word.
Professor Stephanie Burt, a diehard Taylor Swift fan herself, is teaching an English literature class about the megastar at Harvard University.
We're looking at Taylor Swift's work and career and the works of art around that.
Nearly 300 students signed up for her class.
You can teach one subject in school, what would it be?
English.
I think the kind of atmosphere in the class is very joyous. I'm taking it with a couple of friends, and the first day when we walked in, we could not stop laughing out of the sheer amazement that we were able to take this class at Harvard for credit. Definitely posting that TikTok was very interesting, and there were a lot of people saying that this class should not be taught at Harvard, that our education system is failing us.
Taylor Swift isn't a serious songwriter, and why are you doing this? And, you've brought down the institution. That's just silly.
Professor Burt says that Taylor's songwriting and lyrics are actually full of references to many English literary works and worth a closer look.
I want more people to read Alexander Pope, and the way you get people into creators and works of art that are not famous, that aren't well known, is by connecting them to things people already like. And you have to do it sincerely and wholeheartedly or it won't work.
Next up, I spoke with a legendary quarterback who knows all about winning the Super Bowl 7 times, Tom Brady. And during my interview with him, I asked him one of your questions, and thanks to everyone who submitted at Coy Wire on social, here's the GOAT for you. So for our CNN 10 student audience,
yeah.
I have a student question for you.
Cool.
Julian Ramirez at Rockwall Heath High School in Texas, what motivated you to wake up every single day and work?
Well, a lot of things. Myself, I wanted to make sure I never looked in the mirror at the end of the day and realized I could have done better, and I always try to do my best, and my teammates, because I never want to let them down. So I think when you're a part of a team, you've got to understand that you're accountable to them as well, and you know your teammates are getting up to work hard, so you got to do it too, and you got to play your part. And I think when that comes together, you create the best teams and the best relationships, and you have the most fun.
And when you get everyone on that same page, that's when that magic happens.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah. Because you got to, it's one goal, it's one mission, and when you bring people together, you try to win, but it's not as easy as it sounds. You got to have a lot of people working toward the same goal.
10-second trivia. Who was the U.S. president before Abraham Lincoln took office in 1861? James Monroe, James Polk, James Buchanan, or James Garfield? If you said James Buchanan, put your hands up. Buchanan served as the 15th U.S. president from 1857 to 1861. He did not seek re-election because he had promised to serve only one term in office. Today is February 12th, and it's Abraham Lincoln's birthday, did you know? Born in 1809, Lincoln is one of the most iconic presidents in our nation's history, and some parts of his presidential legacy have become almost mythological. Our Tom Foreman separates fact from fiction with some of these myths, and while you watch, keep in mind these are short bullet points. We hope this serves as a guide so you can talk to your teachers, dig into the research, and discover the real life of this inspiring president.
Every president sells an image. Patriot, deal maker, groundbreaker. Abraham Lincoln was the rail splitter. Sold to voters as a hard-working laborer, a man of the people. But that is also the first big myth about Honest Abe, pushed by his political party.
They wanted stories that showed Lincoln being this sort of humble rail splitter, being a country bumpkin.
The plain truth was Lincoln was a lawyer and a politician and had been a rail splitter a very long time before.
The second myth, Lincoln rose to power by supporting the abolition of slavery. Although Lincoln thought slavery might die eventually, he focused on simply not letting it spread to new Western states, fearful of the political and economic consequences if it did.
I mean, the idea of abolition is demonized because abolishing slavery was a radical idea. He basically has to defend himself against being an abolitionist.
The third myth. Lincoln was a champion for black American rights. To the contrary, he explicitly argued that whites were the superior race, and he adjusted as needed.
There's a tendency to say he's this moral paragon or he's just a political animal. No, he's a hybrid. If you want to understand him, you got to understand both sides.
Myth four, Lincoln was destined for greatness. One might think so, but Lincoln's career was marked by many business, professional, and political failures. He won the presidency only because the Democratic opposition split between three different candidates. And myth five, Lincoln single-handedly drove his destiny with ambition, intelligence, humor. That's partially true, but by all accounts, his wife, Mary Todd, pushed him hard to become the president so loved and remembered. Facts, myths, legends, and all.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10. We're continuing to highlight trailblazing black Americans who are true trailblazers and difference makers. And in our second week of Black History Month profiles, we shine a light on Sandra Douglas Morgan, president of the Las Vegas Raiders. She is the first black woman in history to be named president of an NFL team. She grew up here in East Las Vegas with a black father, a Korean mother. And when she was a kid, she wanted to grow up to be the next Connie Chung, who was the first Asian woman to anchor a national network evening news show. Sandra Douglas Morgan would go on to become the first black city attorney in Nevada during her time as chief legal officer for North Las Vegas. She told me it was helpful to be an outsider's outsider.
So I wasn't able to really focus on any hindrances or kind of, you know, preconceived issues that might be there. I just knew I was going to roll up my sleeves and try to get the work done.
Now, about 100 years before Miss Douglas Morgan made history, Fritz Pollard became the first black coach in the NFL, but he busted down barriers well before that. In 1916, he attended Brown University, where he majored in chemistry and became the first black football player ever at the school, leading the team to the Rose Bowl. After serving in World War I, he was one of only two black players in the American Professional Football Association, the league that would later become the NFL. He faced racial slurs and threats from fans, even teammates, but Pollard once said, "I would just look at them and grin and in the next minute run for an 80-yard touchdown." Pollard was inducted into the Football Hall of Fame in 2005. Thank you all for being my Hall of Famers. I know some of you have been waiting a long time for a shout out. Today we're going to go to LA. South Park Scorpions in Los Angeles, California, rise up. Thank you for your persistence. Shine bright, superstars. See you tomorrow. I'm Cooey Wire, and we are CNN 10.